It's really getting to me watching this golf tournament, how I can almost never see the ball on an approach shot or a drive. On these drives, I think I'm not sure if they're using drones all the time, but the viewpoint is from so high up, and you're just looking down on this dead brown terrain with bunkers that are like the same color. And I feel like I've got no chance at finding the ball. They better tell me. They better zoom in or else I'm just lost. And it's working on my psyche. Like, ugh, is it me? I brought this up with Brian yesterday. He gave me a little bit of a break. But I just watched this one shot and I have no idea where to look. The camera's not zooming in or zooming out. It's just sort of giving me the view of the green. And maybe it's because they don't know either. Maybe it's not me, but this tournament, I'm having a tough time. Matt Fitzpatrick, who missed the cut, one of my picks, he was the third favorite, said after his round today, like, I didn't really play that badly. The course was different. I was here 2 weeks ago, and it was green. Do they just sort of, whatever, if it doesn't rain? I think there is that, actually, where the weather is so changeable that they just kind of leave it to the elements, and if it doesn't rain for 2 weeks or something, then you get this. But I don't know. One way to do it. With me now on the Western Hotline, the one and only Sam Panayotovic, Fox Chicago. All right, Eddie Vedder, let's get right into it. What is this story?
Cubs are celebrating their 10th anniversary of the World Series, 2016. I can't believe it's been 10 years. I actually covered that team as a young radio reporter. So all the guys are back this weekend. They're doing this anniversary party at Wrigley. I think it's tomorrow. But last night, you know that podcast that Anthony Rizzo and David Ross do? Have you heard of it?
I have.
Yeah, Lovable Reunion is what they call it. And they got basically 8 of the players to come in and do a live studio, not studio show, they're at the Chicago Theater. And they're all sitting in chairs around a table. Joe Madden's there, John Lester, Jake Arrieta, Dexter Fowler, Jason Hayward, Miggy Montero, and then Ross and Rizzo. And then at the end, they do an encore. After they show the Cubs win the World Series, they blow all the confetti out, and they're playing the Go Cubs Go song. And then they go, you know, all good shows have an encore. And they bring out Eddie Vedder, who plays Someday We'll Go All the Way live. And people are, like, crying and clapping. And it was really cool, man. It was. And then Vedder's in the post-game. They had, like, a friends and family room that I was a part of. And, yeah, we're sitting there drinking. Eddie Vedder's, like, 2 doors down. You know, it's crazy.
Is he pretty approachable?
Yes, he is.
It seems
and
like
he,
it.
Yeah, and you know, Mike, when the Cubs were making this run, obviously they hadn't won the curse. There was this huge Billy Goat thing and, you know, all this crap. But Vedder, during the World Series, would play acoustic guitar on Waveland Avenue outside the stadium after World Series games.
Wow.
I mean, this is a celebrity. He's a celebrity, and he's sitting on a stoop right outside the ballpark, just playing Someday We'll Go All the Way. He is a super Cubs fan. And he's not one of those guys like John Cusack who flips. Cusack, he's a Sox fan when the Sox are good, and he's a Cubs fan when the Cubs are good.
Yeah, Vedder was at the World Cup. They showed him one game, and a child went up to him, and I could read his lips saying, "What's your name?" Like, he was talking to the kid and probably signing something. I don't know what else was that. What else happened there, but he's had that persona, I think. Were you at Game 7 in Cleveland?
No, they didn't send me to Game 7. I was so upset. But I covered all the games at home that year, all the playoff games, too. And then the World Series came, and they sent, like, the morning sports guy instead of the weekend guy.
Okay.
Different story for a different day. Another thing on Vedder, too. I know we're going to talk betting. And I got plenty of updates from Vegas on things that wise guys are betting and not betting. But I've never, and I've seen Eddie now probably 5 or 6 times, I've never seen that guy on his phone, ever.
All right. That's a compliment, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yep. The one thing I remember about Game 7, Chicago-Cleveland, not really caring too much who won. I guess I probably wanted Cleveland to win. They had their own drought. But the weather report, like whatever inning, late innings, suddenly, like, here come these thunderstorms. And what are they going to do about this? I remember sort of like panicking in my house watching the game on Fox, thinking like the storms are imminent and it's tied in the 9th or something like this. And there could be hours before they pick the game back up. It never happened, though. It never happened until, I mean, I assume after the game was over. So I remember being really sort of stunned that they got it in.
I remember having the under in the game, and when Rajah Davis hit that home run off Chapman, I wanted to cry because then they had to go to extras and all that. They actually did talk about that last night when the rains did start, you know, downpouring. I guess the head of Fox called the commissioner of baseball and said, you know, if we just pause this and start the game at 7 o'clock tomorrow, we can make $25 million. And then Theo and the GM of the then time Indians, I think Chris Antonacci is his name. They were like, no, let's finish this tonight because we won't be able to sleep.
Yeah, that's crazy. So it did eventually rain. All right. Your White Sox are in Toronto this weekend. I read, I think maybe from Evan Abrams, baseball's most profitable money line team this year, the White Sox. That's common sense. I mean, they've been bad for years, and maybe they're kind of a hard sell. Tied for first coming out of the break, but still only about even money to make the playoffs from what I saw at Bet Online. You and I both have them to do it. What should the numbers be?
Well, I don't think they should be, you know, well, I don't think you should bet 2-1 to win the division at this point. In fact, like, you're starting to see some serious steam on the Tigers. Yep. In a lot of ways. And we've talked about the Tigers. I mean, they're the best team in the American League since June 1st, record-wise. They've just been on a tear. And now they're healthy-ish. Scooble's back. They're not going to sell at the deadline. They didn't have the greatest start to the season, but, Mike, they're 3.5 out of the wild card right now. Mm-hmm. So they're right there. I don't know. We talked about this on Bear Bets this week. I don't know if it's a better idea to bet them to win the division or to bet them to win the pennant. Because, like, if they get in as a wild card team and you got to face Tarek Skubal game one, that's a problem. I don't know that they're going to win the division because they've got a much, you know, tougher path there, currently like 6.5 back. Is it better to take the Tigers to win the division or win the pennant? What do you think?
Ooh, well, I think I might like both as you lay it out. It depends on it. I think what – I'm not sure I have a strong enough opinion on Chicago or even Cleveland to push against what – I mean, how many wins is it? Is it 88 wins? Is it 90?
I don't even think it's that high, honestly. Okay. It could be an 85, 86-win division. It's not a great division. The Sox are in first, and I'm happy because we gave this audience over 66.5. I think we'll get there. They're 50-45 now, but I don't – like, I would never bet the White Sox at 2-1 to win the division. When we were talking about 40-35 before the year, now they're 2-1, and it's just not a bet I would ever make.
Yeah.
Of all those teams, though, if I had to pick – like, if I had to pick one of those four, we're throwing the Royals in the garbage – White Sox, Guardians, Twins, and Tigers. At this point, I would bet the Tigers, I think.
I've heard, too, how they want to be buyers. And I think it's probably just because they have him. Like, Skubal would be the piece you move if you're selling. And they don't want to do that. I respect that. I mean, they don't want to do that. They're close enough. And you talk about 3.5 from the wild card. The wild card teams in the last spot right now have losing records. So whether they win the division or not, it won't take that much for any of those teams. Detroit and Boston probably, right, have been the two best American League teams for the last 6 weeks or month or so. Boston keeps winning. So those would have been pretty likable bets now if you'd made them a month ago, Detroit or Boston.
I looked at this the other day. The best teams in the major since June 1st. Do you want to guess who the number one team is?
Tell me.
Marlins.
Marlins, okay, right.
Yep. Marlins are 26-11 since June 1st.
Yep.
I got a little ticket on them to make the playoffs. That's a nice one. I'm not going to just brag about all my good bets. I also bet the Mets to win the pennant. That will not happen. So in order, it's Marlins, Phillies, Cubs, and Tigers. The best four teams since June 1st.
Very good. Texas has made a move to first place in the AL West. I'm not sure their record is that great. Another pretty weak division. So are there any second half, as we wrap on baseball, any second half bets you like from, you know, as we start post All-Star break?
You know, we were having this conversation the other day, and it's probably not going to win, but if Pete Crow Armstrong continues to play like this, I mean, his June was unheard of, the numbers he put up in June. I think there were two players that had done what he did in June. It was Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. You're like, oh, okay. And Pete Crow Armstrong. Yeah. Can he win the MVP, like, over Ohtani? I guess is the question I'm asking rhetorically, because I look at the price now.
He's the second Ohtani, choice.
Yeah, he's the second choice, and he's a distant second choice, because Ohtani's minus 1,000. Zeke Armstrong is 8-1, though, to win the MVP. It probably doesn't win. I think it could be a fun run. The voters are just enamored with Ohtani. And if he has any of those games down the stretch where he strikes out 10 guys and hits 2 home runs, you know, like that could seal it.
I mean, you could win that backing into it, like the way whoever is going to win the AL MVP is going to back into it with Judge out for months. I mean, Ohtani's knees, he's not pitching. Maybe that ends up being a bigger problem. And then if it's early enough in the season where that happens, somebody else has to win.
What they're trying to do at this point, here's what the books are doing. They don't want you to bet Ohtani. So they're going to make him as expensive as possible. So if you want to do it now, you got to lay $1,000 and win $100, which nobody should do. I guess if you're super rich, you can do it, but that's an insane bet when he was, you know, plus 110 before the season. But now they're pushing all these other guys out. The PCA's 8-1, Schwarber's 35, Soto's 40. They kind of want you to pick the apple a bit because they know that Ohtani's likely going to win. But, man, that PCA number, if he does what he did in June and he can keep this up for 3 more months, he could win it. I just don't know that he will.
With Sam Panayotovich, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. NFL MVP, Sam. It's tight at the top with all the big quarterbacks there. Justin Herbert is somebody that I sort of can get behind. I feel like everybody is saying that, though. And the last time I looked, he was the third choice. So where is the value in MVP?
I look at a guy like Jaden Daniels, who we're now putting below Drake May and Caleb Williams. Well, Jaden was hurt last year, obviously. He played through injury and didn't make it the full season and all that. But that's a guy that just has no shine right now. Like, there's nobody talking about him.
Okay.
And, you know, 25-1. I'm in that. Like, we've talked for years now about prices and ranges and all that. And, you know, he was the fifth favorite last year coming into the season off his rookie campaign. And now he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Like, he's way down there. 25-1 is the best number on Daniels. And, you know, also on Bear Bets this week, we were talking about the NFC East. And one guy brought up the Eagles. Another guy brought up the Cowboys. Another guy brought up the Giants. And I'm like, oh, the Commanders are going to win then. You know, because that's kind of how it is. But that's the first number that jumps off to me. If he can put the pieces together there and he's healthy, which by all accounts he is, 25-1 is a really good number on Jaden Daniels.
The shine being off him, as you put it, makes sense to me. I mean, I know it more from a fantasy perspective. And Sam, I drafted him recently in the 9th round.
Like, wow.
It's 3 rounds after Lamar Jackson. It's 5 rounds after Josh Allen. It's after Caleb Williams or Joe Burrow in this case. I mean, it doesn't always go in the same order, of course, but it's almost like people have forgotten.
I remember him being like the 5th quarterback off the board last year.
Yeah, and he is almost that anyway. It's a little bit that the position is being pushed down, but still, I mean, with the upside there with Daniels, I mean, I'd much rather have him in fantasy than Burrow. And even Caleb Williams, I think. That's closer.
I got a couple notes for you on both Burrow and Caleb. So
good.
John Murray runs the book at the Westgate in Vegas, one of my dear friends, and he said that the Bears, I laugh before I even tell you, the Bears have the most tickets to win the conference, the Super Bowl, and Caleb Williams has the most tickets to win the MVP. So the Bears,
they're back.
As of now, are the most public team in Vegas.
They're back. It took 1 year.
Yeah, so they'll go 5-12. Joe Burrow and the Bengals are the wise guy team this year. I told Bulldog this last week, but we can re-rack it because another sharp group came in and bet them to win the conference and win the Super Bowl. There's multiple groups that have went into Vegas and bet big on the Bengals to win the conference and to win the Super Bowl. So if that's the case, maybe Joe Burrow MVP isn't the worst idea.
I don't think Burrow is a bad idea for MVP. I don't want him in fantasy over Jaden Daniels because he never runs. But I don't think – he's what, second favorite, Burrow? And they're favored in 15 games? So, yeah, I mean, that adds up. Plus, we're living at a time where there are legacy-type votes, like John Cooper and Matthew Stafford. So maybe Burrow, it's his turn at that position. Offensive player of the year, we've talked about that a couple of years. You like Jefferson?
Yeah, I'm going there. I like both of the receivers from LSU, to be honest. Chase is 10-1, but there's a bigger range on Justin Jefferson. He's as low as 12, and he's as high as 18. So go to FanDuel, get the 18. Don't bet the 12 or the 14. 18 to 1. If he gets any quarterback play, he could be a weapon.
Big if.
I mean, I'm okay on Kyler Murray. McCarthy is a zero. But even last year with no quarterback play, Jefferson had over 1,000 yards and 141 targets. At least Kyler Murray can throw the ball. But here's the issue, Mike. Last year, Jefferson had two touchdowns. Two.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
It won't happen again. There's no way.
One of the more interesting situations in the league is Murray there, as he's been such a polarizing figure. And it looked like last year, McCarthy had lost Jefferson week one in Chicago. Like, there's conversations on the sideline week one. So not a great omen for your season. All right, before you go, World Cup, no, that's not your thing. They might have a problem getting the game in with the smoke.
Well, we'll figure out how to get that thing played. Too much money on the line there, especially at Fox.
Yes.
Here's what I can tell you. I got a text on Wednesday to bet the over in the third place match, and I did that. The only problem is, Mike, all those threes are long gone. It opened three. Three over, minus 130, minus 135. Every book is 3.5 now. So these guys just crushed over three. I still kind of like it. You need four to win, obviously, but I'll tie on the three. You'll lose on the 3.5. But serious money on the over in England and France, over three, and now it's 3.5. You can get over 3.5 at plus money if you want.
I was going to ask you if that's a 90-minute bet, but it wouldn't matter if it were three.
Correct. Yeah, well, it is a 90-minute bet plus the extra time, like the extra 5 minutes, not the 30 minutes.
Overtime. Yeah, I guess you could. You know, one of the Argentina, Swiss went 1-1 to 3-1. If you had a full time wager, but this would only be the regulation time, so to speak. All right.
I had a guy. Real quick, Mike. I had a guy bet against Argentina three straight times. He did it with Cape Verde. He did it with Egypt, and he did it with England, and he lost all three. He's like, it's like betting against Mahomes.
Yeah. A little bit messy. Very good. Thanks for your time, Sam. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. You too, man. See you.
Sam Panayotovich, Fox, Chicago. Formerly BetMGM, Chicken Dinner. Although he might not still be completely detached from that. They just haven't put a show up in a while that I've seen. Mike Dempsey coming up at 4. This is Mike Shope on WGR.